is the time.
That's twice now. No, just want to guys let you guys know, every year we do we offer a Financial Peace University, and last year we got kind of cut short, so everybody that signed up last year is able to redo it this year, and you should have got an email this week about when that's going to be starting and being involved in that as well. But we always try to offer it for new people that sign up that want to do it. And some people kind of stay away from it because it's $130 for a membership for a year, and some people go, you know, we're so in debt, another $130, we just can't even do that. So one of the things that we're doing, and I'm sad to share the first part of this, because the first five people that signed up and all those spots are already taken, we were going to cover all the rest of the cost except for $50. But there's good news. The next 10 people that sign up who have not yet taken this course, so not the people that did it last year, we are going to give you 50% off. That means the church is going to pay 50% of your membership. It'll cost you $65, and we'll even let you pay that out. This is such a valuable thing to be a part of. It is by far the best Christian-based program about money out there, and it will really change the way that you see money, the way that you use money. And maybe the best question is this: if you're married and you guys fight about money, you will never fight about money again. It will change the way that you live. So want people to be a part of this, want people to enjoy this. It gives us incredible freedom, so that you have no excuse not to sign up. Now, Brad, you have to remind them at second service that they actually have to go and sign up, because everybody forgets, and, you know, after such an awesome sermon, a lot of people don't think about it again. So did I preach in the first service? I mean, I don't know if preaching is what I'd call it. But anyway, we're going to have fun today anyway. We're in the last week of what we've called the Inspire series, and it's just really a way to give a word of hope as we start a new year. Talking about our faith in very simple ways and how we can live towards it in a healthy manner. Last week we talked about how can we live undefensively into our faith. And I know undefensive is not a word. The word is actually non-defensive. But if you want to go ahead and listen to the podcast from last week, talking about how sometimes the defensive nature that we all have is what we carry, what we kind of tie to ourselves. It's the wagon that we hitch to our lives. And we talked last week about how do we unhitch that wagon? How do we allow that to no longer be what controls us and what guides us? But that if we step into undefensive faith, it will change the way that we live. Now today we're going to be talking about communicating our faith. And there are a variety of ways for us to communicate our faith. One of the ways we communicate our faith is by reading Scripture. Maybe the biggest way that we communicate our faith is by prayer. And today we're going to talk primarily about prayer. In almost 23 years of ministry, I've done a lot of counseling with couples, especially with married couples. Married couples will come in and they'll say, we're having some problems, can you help us? It's okay. We sit down and say, what's going on? They say, we're just fighting all the time about everything. We're not communicating. And I often have to tell them, you're communicating just fine. You're just not communicating very well. 99 of the cases that I counsel have to do with communication. Occasionally, there's something that's really just different or weird or a very, specific problem. But 9 times out of 10, it has something to do with communication. And the couples come in and they say, you know, we're just fighting, we're doing this. And I give them some tools, I give them some homework, and I say, okay, for the next week, this is what I want you guys to do. And they come back in a couple of weeks or whatever it is, and they say, hey, we've started talking to each other again, and it's been a lot better in our home. One of the things that we have to learn very quickly is that communication is both the problem and the solution. If you are having trouble with communication and it's become problematic, it also happens to be the key to the solution and having a better future. It's like when trust has been broken. The only way to get trust back after trust has been broken is to trust. Communication is the same way. If something is bad or wrong, the only way to take away bad communication is by infusing it with good communication. One of the greatest challenges I think that we have when we talk about communication is that it is both talking and listening. Sometimes we miss that second part. And maybe you've heard sermons or speeches or whatever. You know, we've got 2 ears and 1 mouth, and we should listen twice as much as we speak, And that probably is very true. I would say we need to listen as much as we ask or as we speak. You know, there's this thing that we talk about all the time called freedom of speech. And we think that freedom of speech means you can say whatever you want in any way you want. And that's true, but that's only half of it. The other half is you've got to be willing to listen to somebody that has a different view to share whatever they want in the way that they want as well. That's what it means. You can't have one half of this. You've got to have both. And sometimes in our prayer lives, this is the mistake that we make. We think that prayer is when I talk to God. That's true. That's half of it. Prayer is also us listening. That's the part that's hardest for all of us. You know, one of the things that anytime I want to talk about prayer, I want to sort of share with people that we get to pray. We don't have to pray. Paul encourages people and says, hey, try to be prayerful. But God never commands us and says, if you want to be a Christian, then three times a day you need to get up and pray. And if you don't do it, then you're not in the club. It's something that we get to do, not something that we have to do. It is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to us. In fact, any person that walks in faith, that walks with good faith, they learn that prayer is the key. What could be better than us having community and conversation with God? That special space where we don't need anybody else to do it for us, we get to just talk to Him and listen to Him. Prayer is the key in having great faith. This is why Paul, when he writes to the Philippian church, he speaks about this idea. Now, I know last week I talked about Philippians 4:13, and I got some hate mail. You know, you've ruined that verse for us. Okay, we're going to fix it today. Don't worry, we're going to get there. I don't hate Philippians 4, you know, Philippians 4. I love this passage. It's a good passage. But we need to understand what Paul's really trying to say. Listen to what he says beginning in verse 4 of chapter 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, he's not saying run around waving your hands and jumping up and down. What he is saying is find your center in the presence of God. Find your contentment where God is. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, in case you missed it the first time, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Don't you find that after you pray, you're the nicest that you are? With your kids, with your spouse, whoever's around you, there's a gentleness that comes out when we have been in the presence of God. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition or supplication, by submitting ourselves, by listening as much as we speak, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, here's the promise, the peace of God, which we don't understand, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And then he says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What he's saying is send your focus towards the good around you, not the negative around you. Aren't we crazy because we always jump to the negative, the worst case scenarios? He's saying look at the things that are good. Stop spending so much time looking only at the bad. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Now, he's kind of given a model in that first part of this of these verses. And now he's going to push it a little further, make it a bit more practical, come into our lives and speak a word right there. He says this to this church. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord, meaning I have found my purpose and my meaning and my core. It is in God. And at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content in all circumstances. Mostly bad. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, but mostly in need. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, mostly hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, mostly want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. It's a conclusion to Paul's prayer. It's not the beginning. He says, regardless of where life takes me, I find my joy in God alone. And everything else is fine. What Paul is saying in Philippians 4:13 is exactly the same as what Jesus says when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane before he goes to the cross. I don't want to do this, but it's not about me, it's about you, and I will do it if you go with me. That's exactly what Paul is saying. I can do anything, I can face anything if you are willing to go with me. And Paul does outline a very simple model for how we should pray, and they're quite easy. It's this. It should start with thanksgiving. We should be thankful for all the things that God has done. And I don't mean in a trite way where we share, you know, two or three things before we actually get to what we want, even though that is part of this. Start with thanksgiving. If you say, well, I don't know what to pray about, just start thanking God for everything in your life, and I promise you it'll be a full prayer. Just thank God for every single thing around you that you see, that you experience. We need to live with more thanksgiving towards our world and less negativity, less complaining. Maybe we should just be thankful. Don't you find that the words thank you go such a long way with people? People are almost shocked when you say that. You go to the bank, you get your money, and you say thank you, and they act like you're speaking a different language because nobody says it anymore. We need to be thankful, especially when it comes to God. We should be. The second one is this. Be honest. God already knows what you're dealing with. Just tell him. Sometimes we kind of dance around what we're trying to say as if it's almost not ours. Well, God, if you feel like it, if you'd really like to, I mean, I'm not sure if I should ask this, if this is okay. Just be honest with God. If you're mad, be mad. God is pretty big. He can handle our rage and our anger at times. Why didn't you do this? Why did this happen? Be honest with God. Don't dance around what you really want to ask. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, I don't want to do this. He was honest with God. The third one is the hardest one, and that's where we have to patiently listen. And this is hard for everyone. You know, when we're young, we learn prayers like, now I lay me down to sleep. And as we get older and our faith kind of becomes our own, we start to pray a little differently. And mostly it's asking for stuff. You know, we didn't get it from our parents, so we might as well pray about it. Dear Lord, please give me those jeans that I want. Please create a way. And as you go on in faith, as we mature in our faith, we start finding that we slip into something called contemplative prayer. What that means is that you don't just have a formula that you go and pray to God with, that you're honest with him and you're thankful, but most of the prayer time is spent listening. So it's hard to even know that you're praying, but you're just being attentive to God. Maybe this happens to you. This happened to me last night, and I think it probably has to do with me preaching this sermon today. About 3:30, I was wide awake. That happened to you? And you're just awake, and you can't go to sleep, and you can't get comfortable, and something's just, you know, your mind is just going. And I think part of that is because I'm trying to speak to God's people about prayer, and God said, hey, why don't you start there as well? And so I said a few words, and I just lay in the darkness listening. Instead of filling the void with all the things that I thought I should say, just try to be quiet. Try to wait on the Lord. When Jesus' disciples come to him, they ask him how to pray. And this is a passage of scripture in Matthew 6 that's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. And everybody knows the Lord's Prayer. Even people that are not religious know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We all know that prayer. What Jesus is doing in this, he's not giving them a formula. He's not saying to them, okay, now make sure you include all these elements and then your prayer will count. He's saying, I'm going to let you borrow one of my prayers. And maybe as you pray my prayer, you'll start to pray your own prayers. You'll find your own voice in the midst of that. So I did something this week that I haven't done in a while. I don't think I've ever done this before in a sermon, which is always a great thing for audiences to hear when the pastor says, I've never done this before. But I want to be a bit vulnerable with you guys. And I want to just be honest and maybe open up a bit of my life and let you kind of, you know, look behind the curtain a little bit. What I did this week is I did two things. I wrote two prayers. And one of them is a prayer or a voice from God. If God were saying something to me, what would he say? And if there's something that I want to say to him, what would I say? And I called them the for us and the from us. In other words, something that God would say to me and something that I would say to him. And I hope that today that you'll maybe borrow some of these or just listen to these. This is my interpretation of these things. But I believe if God were saying words to me, they might sound something like this. Good morning, my child. Just want it to be the first voice you hear today as you wake up. I want you to know that I've been working. I worked while you slept. And I've gone ahead of you, preparing this day just for you. I don't need your help, but I would love you to journey with me. I made sure the earth was working properly. I made sure to send the sunlight and the rain at the right times so that the food that you will enjoy today was ready a long time ago. I laid out some little clues along your journey, and I'm excited to see how many of them you will see and pay attention to. Some of them are for all people, and some just for you. I hope you like the weather today, the cool breeze and the warmth of the sun on your cheek. That's me. Both of them. Just little reminders that I have many forms. Enjoy your family today. I gave them so that you can know what preciousness feels like. Carry them in your heart. Say sweet words to them. Make sure they know you love them. And when you love them, remember that I love you. I know you'll be crossing paths with a lot of people today. Try to be kind. Try to listen. Try to see beyond the words. Try not to be fearful about anything. I will not leave you. And I've done everything to make a way for you. I sent my son so that you have nothing to fear. Even though today you will step into sin, make some bad, impulsive choices, just know that I don't love you less. You never lose value in my eyes. Just try your best. I made this day for you. I've taken care of it, prepared for it, so try to enjoy it. The hard stuff, enjoy that too. I'll see you this evening. Let's chat again. Remember above all that I love you. You are so precious to me. And if you remember that, the rest will be easy. Love your dad, God Almighty. The second one I took from the Lord's Prayer, and I thought, if I were writing the Lord's Prayer, how would I write it? What are my words over this ancient text? My prayer to God says this. Hi, God. I know you're much bigger than me, but thank you for still loving me. I wish the world looked more like heaven, and hope over time that you will make the gap between these two worlds disappear. Thank you for making so many varieties of food that we can not just live but enjoy life. Often I eat too much, sorry about that. Help me see the world from your perspective and give up my hurt. I've hurt people too. I wish I could always make good choices, but I fail a lot. At the end of the day, Help me remember that it's not about me. So I want to give you a charge this week. I want you to write a prayer. It doesn't have to be long. You can take an old prayer out of Scripture. You can just write one. You can just sit down and share your heart. There's something very beautiful about actually penning a prayer. You can write small ones each day, or maybe a longer one. Maybe write one to God, and if you were Him, write one to you. What are the things that you wish God would say to you? There was a song written many years ago that had this anthem or this theme verse that said, "What if God's people prayed? What would happen in our world if the church did its job and prayed?" As pastors in ministry, sometimes we get confused and we think that ministry is the work and ministry is not the work. Prayer is the work. Spending time in the presence of God and leading our lives from that place. It's what we call living into communicative faith. That we spend time listening and attending to God, and then God leads our steps instead of us deciding where we want to go and then having to pray God into them. Okay, God, I didn't ask you to come along, but would you join me now? Instead of starting and saying, God, where do you want to take us? Where do you want my life to go? Where do you want this church to go? What do you want us to do? Who do you want us to reach? And instead of us deciding that, giving it over to the Lord and following Him and stopping Him from following us. Life goes so much better when we do it that way, even though probably 6 out of 7 days, I struggle with that too. But spend time writing a prayer. What I want to do for us today is I want to encourage us with two simple words, and that is, let's pray. Take time this week, maybe write down a prayer, maybe share it with a loved one. I know it's a vulnerable space, and maybe there were things in what I wrote that you loved, and things that you said, that's not how I would have written it. Write your own. Give it as an offering to God, a first fruits of your heart this week. God will shape beautiful things from that place of obedience. I hope you already know this, but Journey Church is a safe place. You can be yourself at this church, because we are. You don't have to, you know, put on a disguise or be okay if you're not okay. You don't have to smile and say, well, I'm just fine. This is church. We all need it. We all need to be encouraged and uplifted. All of us bring burdens and wounds and guilt into this place. But God says, you don't have to leave with it. I know some of you might have bad knees or bad backs. Maybe this is uncomfortable. But I want to encourage us today to maybe kneel where you are or to stay seated and just offer a prayer. And it doesn't have to be all the words. Maybe it's just a few honest statements about where you are or things that you're struggling with. And then wait patiently for God to show up, because He will. And then we're going to sing a song. The worship team is going to lead us in a song that we all already know, called "Lord, I Need You." If you don't know what to pray, "Lord, I Need You" is enough. You just have to show up. And if you want to come and kneel down front, maybe this is that turning point moment in your life, something that you want to step into but you've always been too fearful to do, just let it go. You're safe here. God is waiting for each one of us, wherever we are, however we do it. Just give Him that small amount of space and He will do the rest.